6-1-3 Wrestling. With your hosts, Kyle Joseph and Mark Cote.
Hey everyone, I'm Kyle.
My name's Mark.
And you're listening to the 613 Wrestling Podcast.
Oh yeah.
Wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All over the place. We're on Spotify still, right?
I think so.
I hope so.
I don't know. We got an email about Apple, but I don't know what I meant. I just stopped reading because I don't care about Apple.
Wait, we got an email about our podcast?
It was about like the restructuring of their like organizational stuff within there.
Oh, right. Whatever. I think the whole... That's right, because Apple Podcast is connected to the iTunes thing they're changing, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Okay.
So anyways, we just move on from that. Again, we're doing it on the Anchor, which if you stick around to the very end of our podcasts, they have a little advertisement. We don't get any credit for it, but we don't pay any money for this to do it anyways.
It's true.
So it all works out.
What's free is free.
That's right. So on today's episode, we are going to talk about the upcoming SummerSlam weekend in the T-Dot.
That's right, Toronto, a couple of hours away from us. Are we going?
No.
No, we're not going.
No, we're not.
Really, unfortunately.
They were selling tickets still for TakeOver and Raw and SmackDown.
Ooh.
It just doesn't really work out in my life.
No. My little sister's getting married this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where's that, in town?
In town. In, the West End?
You should probably figure out where you need to go.
I should probably figure out where I need to go. Hold on, where we got here? I know this is very not very important at all. It is in Cornwall.
Oh, that's not even
close. Not in the West End at all. Just realized that now. But anyways, congratulations.
Yes, so on Saturday we have NXT TakeOver. On Sunday we have SummerSlam. We will break down TakeOver. We'll talk about Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
And the lead up to SummerSlam. We will also talk about what SummerSlam matches at this current moment have been decided on. Who knows, with the power of the internet and WWE.com, there might be another match that comes to fruition.
I think we're going to see some last-minute little...
I think so, too.
...show up that we didn't necessarily see, seeing as how there's so much left, seemingly left out. But,
yeah.
Once again, like we were talking about off-air, back in the day, if you didn't build something worthy enough to be on the pay-per-view, you weren't on the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be mad at it. And, you know, if you just didn't make the cut, or if you don't have a feud good enough to... You're not on there. That's okay.
That's correct. And then we'll talk a little bit about some of the other wrestling, independent wrestling that's coming about to wrap up the show. So keep in mind that the next TakeOver will be War Games again. Specifically has to state NXT TakeOver War Games. They can't just call it War Games because somebody else owns the rights to that. And I want to say it's MLW.
They do, yes. Actually, I remember after the first War Games.
Yep.
They were talking about that.
But it's not have anything to do with the cage. It's merely the title.
The title, yeah. The copyright to the title.
That's right.
Because apparently you can copyright anything these days.
You can, as long as you look like you're going to use it.
Yeah.
So, NXT TakeOver Toronto. I was actually at the last NXT TakeOver in Toronto.
You were?
I was, which was a great show. I'm surprised that this hasn't sold out yet because I think it's really one that people want to watch.
Yes.
I think, you know, I was listening to the last professional broadcaster, Sam Wrestling.
It's quite the introduction.
I was trying to remember his name and I needed the buildup.
Sam.
What is Sam's last name?
Roberts.
Roberts, Jesus.
Let's call him Not Sam. We all know him as Not Sam.
He was talking about how this would have been the TakeOver Phoenix. So it would have been Royal Rumble. But you can no longer be surprised by how good an NXT TakeOver pay-per-view is. The bar is now officially up.
Yep.
And so I think, again, five matches, right on the money.
Yep.
There's no need to drown everybody in unnecessary matches, or you may have been able to do a sixth if you were going to do the breakthrough tournament You could have done that on TakeOver, and I don't think anybody would complain if you put it on, like, the pre-show. But 5's good. 5's a good number.
No, 5's a great number, especially when we need to remember that NXT is still a developmental brand. Yeah. Obviously, the top of the top that stand out the most, the people who are most ready to make that jump to the main roster, are on the big shows, the TakeOvers, the week over week. You know, but yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, NXT's kind of set the bar quite high. If anything, it'll be more shocking if it was a bad event.
Yeah.
But when you look through the card, which we're going to go over, you know, very quickly in a moment, I don't see why it would be very any different than any other TakeOver. Especially, too, what's good about it is that even though we're seeing some repeat matches of what we've seen before, you know they're going to be good. And you're also seeing a lot of different.
Yeah.
You know, especially like, you know, Shayna Baszler versus Mia Yim. Yeah. You know, it's finally not, you know, Kairi Sane against Shayna Baszler for the 15,000th time.
That's true. So. And I think the thing is, too, is that when you only have 5 matches and you're trying, and these people are trying to get noticed, they're putting in their best effort, but they're not doing high spot after high spot after high spot, or they're not trying to put themselves at risk to do something that, you know, there's no jumping off a cage or anything like that. I think they all understand how to keep it within the limit of reality, quote unquote.
Well, they get that the time to tell that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they get enough time. It's not like, hey, you have 6 minutes, go. It's, you know, you have 15, you have 20. There's enough time there to allow everybody. And if it grows a little long in one, I think there's still enough time for everybody else that you're not really cutting anything off.
No, especially too, it's on the network. So the time constraint
isn't the same.
WWE's control. If they go long, they go long.
Yeah.
If they go short, they go short.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting too, because I didn't realize until I watched Total Divas, I think it was like, I don't know, season 2 or whatever, when they cut this women's match out of, I don't know if it was WrestleMania or one of the pay-per-views, and I didn't realize, because I obviously didn't really, even before watching, I never really followed it to the point where I already knew the card going into it, that happens. They just lop off matches altogether.
Oh, people and go so, long?
Right.
They got to cut something.
So this works out because there's less that risk that somebody's going to take away a complete spot from somebody else, because your match would have had to have already been 6 or 8 minutes to start in order to really cut it off, or somebody had been going so long that they've blown over by a half an hour, and then it's like
100%,
right?
Yeah, and especially too with it being developmental, you know, even though it doesn't feel developmental, because it obviously they even WWE refers to NXT as the third brand. You look at, and I'm certain that even though maybe time isn't as much as an urgency as being on a cable, you know, television show or a pay per view where you do have a cutoff time because they need to show something else, I'm sure, you know, part of their development is sticking to that time.
Yeah.
So if someone's given 10 and they take 20, I'm sure someone's getting, Triple H is probably reaming them in the back.
Yeah.
You know, like, you need to find a way to pace. You're on the main roster, you're on Raw, you're on USA, you're on Fox. You got to hit your time.
And they're not doing the overages anymore.
No, not that 6 minute overage.
Yep.
You usually get on Raw.
Yeah. So speaking of time, it is now time to go over the matches. This is obviously not in any particular order because we don't know the order. But we'll go from the lovely Wikipedia.
We'll go 5-1.
yes, we will go 5-1, as it seems to make a little more sense. So starting at number 5, a grudge match, Candice LeRae versus Io Shirai. Io has turned into bad girl Io Shirai. I don't need friends. Candice LeRae is going to defend her honor. After a cage match between Io Shirai and Shayna Baszler that I really enjoyed, really led into this turn for Io. And Candice obviously is the female Johnny Gargano.
Mrs. Wrestling.
Yes. So she has, like, even though, yes, obviously they're married, but they still have this, she still has that feeling, right? Like that almost like always the underdog. The crowd's never going to not cheer for her.
Yep.
So I don't know how this one's going to go. I think really could fall either way, and that's kind of the interesting thing with NXT is I really do feel like the matches can go either way. It's less obvious because not everybody shows up on TV every week, so storylines definitely move at a different pace. I'm gonna go with Io Shirai because I think the bad person needs to win.
Yeah, I think, you know, the coolest thing about this match is like number one, but even though Io Shirai is a little bit newer to NXT and, you know, especially takeovers. And Candice too. She's only been here for a hot minute and hasn't been here for a long time. Number one, you haven't seen these two on a takeover very often. So the fact that they're both getting a one-on-one match and getting that exposure shows the confidence NXT, Triple H, and everyone has in them. But I think it's going to be interesting because at one point you would look at this and go babyface versus babyface. But no, you know, Io Shirai kind of did that heel turn. You know, for me, I'm taking Candice LeRae mainly because I feel this is the type of match, a small little pocket of a match that can be longer than TakeOver. Right. So I feel Candice will find the way to win. You know, the babyface will prevail. Io Shirai will attack Candice right afterwards to let it lead into the next, you know, several coming weeks. I could be wrong, but, you know, I say it time and time again. I'm a big fan of build and longevity. Mm-hmm. Give me something. Or, at the same time, I do agree that if Shirai actually wins, you know, the heel can win, has something to throw into the babyface's face. The babyface wanting to get revenge is always an easy way to start the next chapter in a rivalry. So I wouldn't really hate it. You know, so I think Candice is going to win, but I actually wouldn't mind it if Io Shirai took the heel win.
All right, in the second of two women's matches, we have the Women's NXT Championship match. Shayna Baszler, the champion, facing Mia Yim, the challenger. Mia Yim's had a very interesting story kind of late, being the badass that's going around kicking everyone, kicking everyone's teeth in and kind of really showing that, I can't remember what her little thing is, it's the baddest something, I don't know. She's a badass. That's the idea behind it. For me, this is a big what if.
Yeah.
If you're going to move Shayna up, this is the match to do it. Give the belt to Mia, because if you're looking at the women's roster for NXT, Mia Yim is probably the closest person to logically beating Shayna Baszler.
She's the Blazing Baddie.
The Blazing Baddie.
Sorry, I had to Google search that one really quick. That was going to bug me.
You know, I think that there's an opportunity here for Mia to win and then Shayna to move up. But I just don't know if now is the right time to move Shayna up. Do you want to wait for Shafir and Duke to be better so that they can go with her in a, you know, it's really tough to say. It's kind of an interesting...
Good point.
I don't know what's going to happen to the other two if Shayna moves up.
So, or maybe play devil's advocate, maybe if Shayna moves up, does that finally give the other two that time not just being Shayna Baszler's lackey and their time on their own?
I guess. I mean, my issue with the other two is I just don't feel like they have the look. They don't have the look that convinces me that they belong there. Now, I've never actually watched them in a mixed martial arts.
So I have watched them in MMA. They weren't crazy. Like, they weren't anything. One of their biggest weaknesses was they were a little discombobulated, a little unorganized. And you can kind of see that transitions to wrestling as well. Usually you do see the great MMA transitions very well to professional wrestling.
Like, what's his face? Cain Velasquez. Doing a Hurricane Rana.
Triple Mania. Yeah. Wow. I'm going to tell you, if you have not seen that, YouTube that. Triple Mania main event with Cody Rhodes and Cain Velasquez, current UFC heavyweight, former UFC heavyweight champion, formerly has beaten Brock Lesnar for the UFC heavyweight championship. Made his debut, and he was great. For a debut?
Right. So, but him, I can see him in the ring, and it makes sense. But these two, though, I don't know if they need to be more like MMA.
I think they do need to be more like MMA.
Where Shayna Baszler has really moved into the submission stuff, and that's how she's worked it really well.
Look at a year ago when we talked about Shayna Baszler, talking about how she was a little unorganized, and look at her now. She's crisp. She's good.
Yeah.
I think, Shafir and...
Jessamyn Duke.
I think they need at least the next year plus in NXT.
Yeah.
I think remove them from Shayna Baszler, not just being Baszler's lackey, where they're kind of there. I think Shayna, and she has changed my opinion, and I'm sure many people's opinion, you know, if this was 7 to 12 months ago, is no, she wasn't ready. Even when she was the champion, she wasn't ready. She's ready now. I think she can go up to the main roster and cause problems. you know, being that tough, in-your-face female competitor. They're like, even now, seeing like Becky Lynch versus Shayna Baszler, that's a good match.
Yeah.
That's a really good match, especially too. Shayna does a great job at not just, the grappling, the ground and pound, but she has that ability to be athletic at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, in her own way. But I would say, yeah, this time, I think it's been a while. You know, Mia Yim, you know, her, if you haven't seen or heard her story, it's well documented. You know, going through Mayon Classics to working really hard to get into NXT, and over the last while she's been here, I think it would actually be very fitting to have Mia Yim win the belt and Shayna. And even if it doesn't necessarily mean Shayna goes up, but I think it can mean Shayna goes up, you know, maybe the Monday after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. So I do like that idea, because I think Shayna has done her due diligence to the NXT Women's Championship, and now it's time for someone new. You know, a badass female, and I think Mia is that badass female that couldn't continue that strong female competitor.
Yeah, so. And I mean, I think the thing is, too, is like Shayna Baszler, to me, can be the female Brock Lesnar.
Oh, 100%.
I don't think that people wanted Ronda to be that, but I think Shayna makes more sense to be that kind of person.
Yeah.
Than because Ronda was bigger.
Ronda was something so much better. I don't say a better Brock, but it was better because even though, like, she was her own version.
Yes.
But
she also had, her role was very important.
Yes.
In legitimizing women's wrestling.
Yes.
To the non-wrestling fan.
Yes.
Shayna Baszler doesn't have that same following, so I think that she can be very well suited to that type of role coming in. Just go on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Destroy Bayley. Destroy Ember Moon. Destroy anybody else. And take no prisoners. And I think that could be really well.
Especially,
and then,
too, Asuka. They have... Shayna Baszler and Asuka have history.
Yeah.
You know.
So, you know, and I think... I don't know if we're ever going to get our Four Horsemen versus Four Horsemen. Unfortunately, I don't know if the timing is there. And if the Sasha Banks situation doesn't get sorted out, do you pull an old-school Ric Flair Four Horsewoman and just bring somebody else in? You know, how do you...
Well, technically, I believe the Four Horsewomen is...
It's Bayley.
It's been five before. So Bayley, Sasha, Becky, Charlotte.
Yeah.
And who else was kind of in? Damn it. Anyways... We'll parking lot that one. I feel like there was another one that was like, you're the Four Horsewomen, but I also get along with all of you. That's going to bug me.
But
I see what you mean, though.
It's not, if we're not getting there,
right. Four Horsewomen.
But if we're not getting there, then there's really no point in holding Shayna back to wait for the other two.
No, and if anything now, don't get me wrong, like, I think the number one, the biggest question is Ronda going to come back? If she does, then it could happen.
Yeah.
Then, of course, Sasha. Because I think you can make it happen without Sasha, unfortunately.
Because
the big thing is, it's the other side of the Four Horsewomen. That's the big question.
Yeah.
It's obviously, like Ronda and her band of merry women.
Yeah.
You know, kind of making their way up, claiming to be. But then, if you had Charlotte and Becky, Bayley,
you should need to find somebody else that they can tie in a historical thing to that says, okay, we'll just forget about Sasha.
Yeah.
Let's just move on from Sasha and this person fits in.
And by the way, Sasha, like, just men up. Like, just,
you know,
female up.
I don't know.
Whatever.
It's unfortunate, though, because you don't really know. Obviously, it's all speculation as to what the actual problem is. And until there's some true clarity as to where, you know, she was upset about the tag belts.
True.
I think that Becky Sasha would be great with the Becky that it is now.
Yeah.
I think that's a good...
And you know what? Have Sasha come back with that attitude.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't agree. And don't even just say like, you scripted it where I lost the title, but B, where like, you know, like, I'm not getting along with the brass backstage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But the tricky part is she's a really good heel. So you gotta be careful that you don't play her off as the...
Very true. So. Very true. That's true.
But we digressed.
Exciting.
Up to the next one. The North American Championship Triple Threat match. I think that this is going to be the best match of the night. You have Pete Dunne, who has made his way back overseas to the North American brand.
Yeah.
with Roderick Strong and the champion Velveteen Dream.
So good.
So I think this is going to be the match. I feel like Pete Dunne is going to win it. Not that I want him to win it. I know people are really high on Pete Dunne. He was an unfair advantage in the UK side, because other than Walter, there wasn't really anybody else at his level in terms of fan of larger than just England fans.
Right.
Right? So,
and if anything too, Walter, it was an easier story to tell because of the size of Walter.
Yes.
He's so much bigger than Pete Dunne. Yeah. So
I think Pete Dunne's gonna win, but I don't want him to.
So Velveteen, I don't know. You know, and I'm not even going to talk about any of these people losing, especially more so Velveteen losing, and that mean he goes up. I don't think Velveteen's ready anywhere near
well,
yet.
Well, I don't think...
He'll get lost in the shuffle of how big the roster is right now.
I think that's the problem, is that he's ready. They just can't... They don't have a spot for him that you don't want to lose when he's brought.
I'm just trying to think. You know, when I look at triple threat matches for championships, I try to also think, if Velveteen doesn't retain... Who is he going to go after in a one-on-one aspect? Because usually the champion wants his rematch clause or whatever. So I would say, I could see Pete Dunne winning it. So I'll say my two-sided, who I think Pete Dunne's going to win it, who I want to, Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong, house shows, independent shows, mm-hmm. is on fire right now.
I just feel like he's going to be the proverbial runner-up every time.
But that's where I think you need to erase
like
that.
Like Johnny
was, yeah. You need to erase that. Roderick Strong, especially too, when you look at older, like number one, he looked 10 times different.
Yeah.
He was wider. He was a little bigger. Like he's in so much better shape now. He looks like a million bucks, Roderick Strong. Especially too, like when I watched, Roderick Strong versus Matt Riddle?
Yep.
Not long ago. Amazing match. And especially too, they did that, NXT and those different divisions, like
Royal
205 Rolls. Live, you know, and they did a little battle royal with the men and the females.
Yep.
And the ending was Roderick Strong and I think it was Matt Riddle again. I believe so. I think I could be wrong, but was it? Oh my God. Anyways, sorry. But regardless, Roderick Strong is putting on clinics right now. He is putting on shows that are must see. Like you cannot let your eyes go off those matches. And I agree with you. Don't get me wrong. I think Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano will put on a different type of highlight of the night because we've seen when those guys go at it and magic happens.
Yeah.
But I think this is going to be, you know, for the hardcores. Like you're going to see Pete Dunne break some fingers, Velveteen do unimaginable things, and Roderick Strong just beat the crap out of everyone.
Yeah.
So.
All right, our tag team championship match, the Undisputed Era, being Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish.
I got you on this.
Versus the Street Profits, Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford, who have made numerous appearances on the main roster, not in the ring.
No.
But I don't think they're ready to come up. I will tell you, Montez Ford has been fantastic. You know, his over-exerted energy, like, it's a right spot.
Yeah.
I've never really been a big fan of Angelo Dawkins, especially the double headman thing.
But they work together.
I don't want to see them up. They'll get buried if they come up. They're fine if you want to keep them doing this, like, thing they're doing. I'm all for it. I think you can bring NXT people up and talk about them, but you don't necessarily need to
100%
put them in the ring and have them wasted.
Oh, yeah. It brings real life to the things we see in all these documentaries. You know, you see like, all of NXT, all of Tough Enough, all of these, we were all at the show.
Yeah.
You know, like, of course, you know, they, at the end of the day, yes, they're in developmental, but they do work for WWE. They're not on the main roster, but they're invited to the show.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to see these people here.
Yeah.
I would say my only worry, so here's my prediction.
Well,
I
think the Street Profits are going to win. Correct. But I would not be surprised if the Undisputed Era wins, just because of Roderick and Adam. And they're all four of them are constantly involved in each other's stories.
Yes.
So it wouldn't shock me if Undisputed win, but I think that the Street Profits will retain.
So I want the Street Profits to retain,
mm-hmm.
because I think they rose up real quick in a short period of time, and they still need that time. a slow grow for Street Profits, especially seeing not just how good they are in the ring, but how both of them, I'm a big fan of both of them on the mic. It's not just one person, you know, it's not like Heavy Machinery. You know, when you look at, you know, Tucker and Otis, you know, Otis is really like the funny, yep, you know, like the cheeseburger, doing all the jokes, and, you know, but there's always one side of the tag team that has a lot more hype.
Yeah.
They work well, more better together, because they both bounce off each other 50-50.
Yeah.
So I want the Street Profits to win because I want them to remain on NXT and continue doing this backstage, because then down the road when they do finally make it out, it's going to be that much better, because we've been teased a little bit. My worry is WWE clearly likes them because they're putting them on TV in a good couple of minute, like, fourth wall breaking segments each and every week in big storylines this past week, especially with Drew and Angle.
Yep.
Angle as a referee for Drew's match with Cedric. I fear that they like them too much, that they lose and they're going to bring them up to help the tag team division, which wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. But at the same time,
where do you put them? You got to put them on SmackDown.
I think so.
Because there's no way they're going to compete with the big three in Raw.
No.
But then SmackDown, I mean, they're up in the air is what they're going to do. If it's not the New Day, it's until the Bar comes back,
but
they ever do come back.
But I think once when, and I'm a big believer that once when you start tightening up the brand,
yes,
like the you know, when Raw Tag Team or Raw Tag Team and SmackDown or SmackDown, that will clear things up more.
That's
because
true.
You don't have both jumping on both sides and it's everyone versus everyone. And
yeah.
But Street Profits, I hope, do retain, because I think they are money right now. And the Undisputed Era does not lose any gumption or lose any steam from a loss. Interesting. What if the Undisputed Era does a clean sweep of the night?
This is possible.
Possible.
Very possible.
This is the first time all of them have been in a championship position where they can all win.
And it's not
tag
surprising
team,
that happens.
North American and world, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And then, therefore, in our championship match, our likely main event of the evening, it's a 2 out of 3 falls match. The stipulation is a bit odd. Adam Cole got to choose a stipulation. He went with a basic singles match. Johnny Gargano went with a street fight. And if there's a third fall needed, then William Regal decides the final stipulation. I feel like it's...
You're going to see that third one.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious, because why would you bother talking about it? It's just an odd way to do a 2 out of 3 falls match.
It's different.
Different. I would have preferred if it wasn't a singles match with a street fight.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think the more thing to focus on... I think the stipulation isn't even the thing. I think the thing is Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I think the main thing is. But I get what you mean. It's different. Where it's like, you got to pick one, I get to pick one, and if we both tie, the general manager gets to pick one. Obviously, they're not going to do something like that and have it not happen.
Yeah. So what's the point of even talking about it?
Exactly. So.
So I think, though, I think Adam Cole is going to retain... I don't know why, I just do. There's no real reason for it, but it just seems to make more sense to me that he stays in control. I think if Velveteen loses, he goes after Adam Cole for the NXT Championship.
Yeah, that could very well happen.
But
no, I think it'll be great. And if anything, too, they're doing exactly what they should be doing. Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano, they're, you know, good. Keeping the story fresh. This is not their first time facing against each other, and they're continuing a great story. So I think that's the main thing. It's the era versus Gargano overcoming objections and wanting to become champion once again. I think everything else is just on the side. It's chips to your sandwich.
All right, so that wraps up the 5 matches for NXT TakeOver Toronto 2. They didn't mention it being the second one, but it is. Which is taking place August 10th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, at the Scotiabank Arena. Make sure you get onto the network to watch that one. It's definitely worth it. So when we get back, we will discuss Raw, SmackDown, its lead up to SummerSlam, and the SummerSlam pay-per-view itself.
Excited!
We will be back.
Welcome back. No, you talk.
It's because I hadn't decided, because I'm terrible at coming back saying the exact same thing.
Hi, hello, how are you?
And we're back, or whatever it is. So I always end up saying the same thing over and over again, and then I'm trying to think of something new.
Yeah.
But I haven't been too successful.
No.
So it looks like rambling is the new back into the show.
100%. But no, I think it's time to, you know, kind of get into SummerSlam. And the way we were going to kind of approach it is, you know, let's go through the SummerSlam card, you know, break it down and just kind of touch on this last week of wrestling. And what's the most recent, you know, piece of build towards, you know, each. And, you know, because right now we currently have, you know, quote unquote confirmed 10 matches for SummerSlam. Nothing super identified for the pre-show. And of course we do have some, you know, who knows, maybe some last minute matches. Obviously we have the big question mark with Roman.
Correct.
And what happened to him. So let's start with the unknown right now.
Yep.
So let's talk about Roman Reigns. So okay. Obviously, week over week, for the last couple of weeks, you know, Roman wanted to make his SummerSlam announcement. Funny how he has yet to even, no one has asked him, what was that announcement going to be?
Yes.
Even recently, it was kind of like, talk about the person that attacked you. You know, and then kind of go from there. I lost my train of thought.
No, it's just, it's, you know, it's funny though, right? Like, 'cause you're right. He hasn't just said, oh, by the way, I need to figure out who this is, but by the way, it was actually going to be so-and-so.
Right.
It's also weird too, I find, why does Roman Reigns get to challenge somebody and make a formal challenge? It wasn't even a challenge. It was, Roman Reigns is going to tell people who his opponent is at SummerSlam. Well, why does he get to decide?
Right.
It's one of those weird things where, like, the lack of consistency.
They should have made it more of, like, who is he going to challenge?
Yes.
Or what is his plans?
Yeah.
Or maybe it was his plans, and we're overemphasizing on it. But no, I think, you know, it's so many things. So, obviously, yes. So, we saw Roman, you know, make the announcement. The barricades fell on him.
Yes.
He was okay. Kind of looked a little bit more shook than anything else. Then from there...
He blames Joe. Yeah.
And then, of course, this past week on Raw, Joe was not having any of it.
Yeah.
He was very livid, kicked off Raw, kind of right on the announcer's table, right in their face, saying, like, that's bull. And which this is one of the things that I loved about not only just Samoa Joe, the character, and the wrestler, but just this moment did a lot for Joe.
Yes.
Because it was really saying, if you're going to, you know... Like, I'm not going to attack you from behind.
Yeah.
Like, you know me. If I have a problem with you, I'm going to tell you to your face.
Yeah.
If I attacked you, I would have told you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was more insulted that he would be coward enough to do that, which I love that, because it was like, yeah, Joe, like, tell him. Like, when you're kind of, like, cheering for the heel, going like, no, if I'm going to do something scummy, I'm going to do something scummy to your face.
Yeah.
You know, and...
And then the car... And I thought the car was really interesting.
The car was very interesting.
Because it was really risky.
Very risky.
And there was no cutscene.
Because Roman jumped into that thing.
Yeah, there was no cutscene. There was no... And he was driving fast enough that the impact caused Roman's car to move. Like, you needed to have that. It couldn't just be like, tap. Right. And then, you know, like puts it in neutral and just rolls it and bumps it.
Like, it was a hit. He had to... And even though, yes, he jumped in, it was the shock of...
Yeah.
Like, he dodged a car going at him, like, 80 kilometers an hour.
Yeah, my only issue is, so he goes after Buddy, which is fine. It could have been Buddy, but it would have been, in order for it to be Buddy, there would need to be more lead up. It could have been the Shane McMahon town hall where Buddy sided with Shane and Roman went against Shane. Yep. That could have been it.
Yep.
In theory, I mean, part of me thought, man, what if it really was Joe anyways? Joe got somebody else to do it. But again, they would need to pull out some sort of specific stipulation, some sort of Samoan stipulation.
Maybe it's CM Punk.
Definitely not CM Punk.
Not CM Punk. CM Punk WWE return confirmed.
Yeah. And then obviously the show ends with Buddy telling him that he heard Rowan was involved. But the show really ended really oddly.
Yeah.
Because Rowan didn't react to it, Daniel Bryan just kind of looked at Rowan, didn't give him enough time to be like...
They sold it enough where it was kind of like, is he reacting to... He doesn't know what he's talking about? Like, kind of going like, what? Like, yeah. I have no idea. Or is it one of those... Uh-oh, they're on to us. You don't know. It's kind of in that middle.
Which would make it feel like there should be one more SmackDown before SummerSlam.
Yeah, that was a really... That would have been a very, very good and interesting way to lead it into the last SmackDown before. But now we kind of have all these... I can only presumably assume that Roman will show up on SummerSlam, whether he goes out to the ring and goes like, come on! Which I really hope they don't do that.
I know, I don't like
those. I really hope it... Like... It's okay for SummerSlam to turn into something that's not always a match. Maybe it turns into Roman's backstage and kind of being here like, okay, I'm not wrestling, but I'm here to support Seth. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here to be here. But then all of a sudden the person attacks him and shows himself and maybe drags him out and beats him up or does something. And it's not a match. Because that would be really lame if all of a sudden it was like, ding, 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 and then impromptu match.
Yeah.
Like, that would be really, really stupid. So, but I think to discover, and if anything, that can be a build continuing down the road near the end of the year. You got Survivor Series coming down. So
who do you think it is?
So I think it's tough.
Okay. So the options are Daniel Bryan, Rowan and Daniel Bryan together.
Yes.
Samoa Joe, somebody else in the roster, or somebody we haven't seen in a while.
So what I want, so my answer is going to be a cop-out answer, but it's truly the answer I want to say. I want WWE to do so good that we did not see this coming. Yes. That's what I want it to be. Yeah. I want it to be something that we can't just say here on the podcast.
But I think it's got to make sense. So it can't be like...
And I hope it does make sense.
You know, it could...
Dean Ambrose return confirmed. No.
No, but like Harper.
Right.
Harper could make sense. We haven't seen Harper. There's the thing. They had plans for Harper.
Right.
It's not unrealistic. What I don't want to see is... Let me think here. Some NXT guy. Shane Thorne is the guy.
Right.
Or I don't want it to you know, bring back, you know, memories of Rikishi is the reason why...
I did it for The Rock.
Right.
No, you know,
I don't want to see any of that.
I would say so, yeah. So my answer truly is I want them to do a so good that we can't really figure it out, that it's that big of a curve.
Yeah.
Because I love those. At the same time, I would say that if I had to make a prediction, I would say it's Daniel Bryan. I think because Daniel Bryan's been leading to an announcement.
Yes.
An announcement. And I want that announcement to be... You know, and I don't necessarily want to, I don't even know how he would announce this necessarily, but it's him saying, my vision is back to the WWE Championship, and that is going to go directly through Roman Reigns. Or, I don't like or don't respect Roman Reigns because of this reason, you know? And
yeah, but that's the thing to me too, like, if they're not going to tell us on SummerSlam, they may reveal whatever. That next explanation needs to be on point, though.
It does. It really does.
It needs to be hit, like, this is exactly why I did it.
You can't have someone almost killed, quote-unquote hypothetically. You can't have someone, you know, get almost hit by a car. As great as that segment was, that was, like I said, very risky. You can't do all of that for it to be something stupid. Like, if it ends up being like
he ate my sandwich.
Yeah, like, it's Cedric Alexander. Yeah. It's like, I thought you were my bro. It's like, screw you, I'm grabbing the brass ring. You know, like, just something ridiculous.
Yeah, or Shelton Benjamin.
Right.
Shelton Benjamin was really weird, the 24/7 thing.
Yeah.
That was, like, it wouldn't... There's got to be a reason that has to be logical sense, and they either have to have alluded to it already, or
something
totally different that's still logical, but isn't like, oh, yeah, you remember when that guy you saw was just sitting there? Oh, that's what, like, you start piecing things together that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So I agree. I mean, I think the logical solution is Daniel Bryan. I just hope that the reason makes sense, and or it's somebody else that we didn't think of. But whatever the payoff is, it needs to be big.
Yes.
It needs to be... So what are we looking at? Survivor Series is the next biggest one?
The next big one, yeah.
It's got to be like a Survivor Series payoff.
Yep. Or something that can at least carry
off. If you almost kill Roman Reigns, it's got to be big.
Yeah, 100%.
It can't be, oh, we're going to, you know, the next, whatever the next thing is on the card is,
yeah,
I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But
now I got to know. Clash of Champions.
See, irrelevant.
Right? Like, it can't be like, oh, yeah, now they're at Clash of Champions and the story's over.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure.
All right, so the other piece, I think, that's not really on this, but I'm sure it will make its appearance, is the 24/7 Championship. So
one of the best things on TV right now.
I will say that with a little asterisk, a little caveat. How many schoolboys or whatever you call small packages, how many surprise behind pins can you possibly do?
Oh, 100%.
I want some more creativity. Mike Bennett pinning his wife.
Oh, with a hug.
Perfect.
With a referee doing a quiet tap on the back. One, perfect. Two, three.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I just, and even in the ring, I have a hard time. The only person that does a decent job of selling it, I find lately, is Bayley, because she like pushes her feet because she's trying to like hold the person down.
Right.
But like, are you telling me that Mike Bennett can't kick out of a?
See, my only thing is that, like, and it's not necessarily realistic, but they're not in the ring. You know, it is a hardwood floor or a concrete floor. A little different, but at the same time, it's...
But that can't be your only way of pinning, and it seems to be that's the one they do.
No. It almost seems like they're afraid
to go hardcore. Because it makes sense
to go hardcore. Because it's easy to just smash someone over the head with something.
Yeah.
You know,
makes total sense to me.
Like, pick up one of the chairs and the OBGYN.
Yeah.
You know, like waiting rooms and just smash them over the back with it.
But that makes a whole total sense to me. I like that it was R-Truth and Carmella, you know, with the role reversals, and I'm okay with that. I just feel like at some point in time, obviously R-Truth and Drake Maverick are holding the comedic aspect of it, but you can't just keep having roll-up pins over and over again.
I think if anything, too, maybe, like, let's look at it for what more it is than that. Because I don't even think it's necessarily about how they win. It's the storyline around
it.
Like, to that, to me, it was more... Don't get me wrong. I thought the exact same thing. You know, another roll-up, another roll-up, another roll-up. It's always a roll-up in the hotel room or whatever. But I think the more thing is where they were, how it was done.
At least
where
in the Raw reunion, there were some different ones with the older people. They had some different things to it. And I was okay with that.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I just think that... I was wondering how they were going to deal with Maria. I was hoping it was going to be Mike. So, you know, I was okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that it'll make an appearance somewhere in the SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you?
Oh, goodness, yes. It'll pop up somewhere.
All right. Number 10 on the card. This is obviously not in exact order, but it might be. We have the Cruiserweight Championship, likely to be on the pre-show. Drew Gulak versus Oney Lorcan, apparently, because I don't watch 205 Live. Oney Lorcan won a six-pack challenge.
Oney Lorcan's the man.
I'm okay with Oney Lorcan. I just, again, there's no story.
Well, I think, once again, in this case, it's something different and new. You know, last time, you know, there's been a few different ones.
But
since.
It always seems to be a six-pack challenge or a fatal four-way to decide who's going to face it.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
You have great wrestling on the show, but you're still not getting the audience because the audience hasn't found a reason to tune in enough.
205 Live's going away, so I don't really know if they're going to put that. That's the big word, is that it's going away.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to
put the NXT.
Yeah. That's the big word on the street, so I don't know if there's worthwhile. I think it's more so...
Just to have it on there?
Well, yeah. Like, they're not going to invest, like, all these hours into writing something that could be going away. That's my take. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think, just for me, Drew Gulak, awesome. You know, it's good to have his turn as champion. Oney Lorcan, very unique. It's not someone who you've seen.
Yeah.
You know,
unless you're NXT. If you're an NXT fan, you've definitely him and... Danny Burch or Tag.
Oh,
and,
for sure, but not someone you've seen, 205.
That's correct. Destroyer.
You know, Tony Nese, you know, Drew Gulak, Drew Gulak, sorry. You know, you've seen these individuals recently, you know, Cedric Alexander, Buddy Murphy. But it's someone different and unique. And Oney Lorcan, number one, a great Twitter follow. You know, he's all caps all the time, really funny. Yells at everything, complains about everything, but always has some kind of a logical sense to it. But no, I think, yeah.
Who retains?
Drew Gulak retains. I would love to see Oney Lorcan win. I think that'd be cool, because I think he would do something different with the title. But at the same time, I'm not even going to invest that much into it, because I'm not that invested in the Cruiserweight.
This will be a fast-forward match for me.
I'll still watch it, because I think it's going to be a great match.
Yeah, I think I'll skip along. Number 9 on the list is the... What's supposed?
Aren't you holding a party for SummerSlam? You ain't fast-forwarding live.
Well, I don't know. If I'm the only one that's showing up to my one-person party, then I can do whatever I want.
I might be able to do it. I got to figure out my sister's wedding plans this weekend. I think it's only on Saturday. I don't know if she's doing something on Sunday, but if not, then right. I should be able to be here.
Trish Stratus in her supposedly final match ever, which obviously, as we know, with WWE is never really final, unless they unfortunately have passed on to the other side, because there's always adaption. We never thought Shawn would be back. He came back for a match. I listened, finally got the Booker T interview with Sam Roberts, and he said he probably had, I think he gave the most realistic answer. They were talking about his final match, which he's doing for his own
school
and promotion. And he said, I don't want to wrestle. I don't want to have to recover for a week. It doesn't feel good.
No.
That's what I hate going into the ring with, is the feeling of knowing what I'm going to feel like. It was the most realistic answer.
Oh, God,
so
yeah.
For him, but he also said, if Vince calls for the Rumble, he's there.
He's there.
So
he'll go do a spinneroni and put the tights on and go.
And so, you know, I'm all for that. So this match, I just felt was a really awkward.
It's a location match. It's a Toronto match as well, but this is.
It's funny because I feel like the story makes sense. It's just the buildup was like 2 weeks instantly rushed. There wasn't any. They maybe should have done more with Charlotte talking about how, you know, Charlotte could beat anybody from the past. Anybody going forward.
Yeah.
Maybe we have Charlotte show up on NXT and demo somebody from NXT. You know, talk about how more she is the best there has ever been. Correct me if I'm wrong, but people consider Trish Stratus the best WWE women's wrestler of all time.
Well, I think it's only because she's held the title 7 times.
Yeah.
So I think she holds a record for how
but
many.
But I think historically people kind of vision it as she's the best, quote unquote.
Modern day.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I don't count Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young and all those other ones. Like in terms of like she was the top women wrestlers.
Well,
were
she was the top
wrestlers
during the hottest time of wrestling.
Yeah.
So yeah. But that's why, and if anything, like they do tell a good story, and I don't hate the match. I think it's a good match. It's a showcase match. They're in Toronto. She's from Toronto. It's a hometown match. They get to see Trish.
Well, you know Charlotte's coming. But Charlotte should mop the floor.
Charlotte should, because if this is Trish's last match, you do the honors for the person that's going to be there.
But even still, as good as Trish has looked in the previous matches, she hasn't carried a match by herself. And
we'll have to see.
Yeah,
can't say anything
we
see.
I know.
We can't speculate until we see.
But I think Charlotte should mop the floor with her.
Yeah, and I'm sure Trish will get some offense. And if anything, what's good about this match and where it does make sense and they were able to do it in a short period of time was, you know, Charlotte is a multi-time, I can't remember how many times, like 5-time, 6-time world champion.
Okay.
Whatever. Doesn't count.
It doesn't count for me. This is I'm going to ramble sideways for 1 second, times 60. It does not matter the number of times you have won. It is how long you have held the belt.
Oh, goodness, yes.
So,
for sure. Because, I'm talking about what they have in common.
Yeah, yeah.
They have in common. They both held it.
I see, and I'm
totally with you.
Charlotte and Sasha traded off.
When you want to know who the greatest of all time is, you look at, and there is a very good list online where you look at top reigns of world championships, where Bruno Sammartino has like 7,000 days.
Yeah, that to me is more important than
100%.
But I get what you're trying to
get. In this case here, I think Trish has had it 7 times and Charlotte's coming up to it. So I believe that's where it's kind of the best in the heyday versus the best now. Because undoubtedly Charlotte is the best right now.
Yeah.
And Trish was the best
then. In that 20, time period.
20 years ago almost when it kind of started. Or a little less than 20 years ago. So I think that, and if anything too, what I like about their smack talk to each other is it's all been ego based. It's all, I'm better than you, I'm better than you, I'm better than you, I'm better than you. You know, I'm the best of all time. I was the best of all time. It's like, you know, like I'm the best wrestler. I was the best wrestler. Like, there's so much, like, their arguments are the same, mm-hmm. where it's kind of like, it's all ego, 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 which kind of makes it interesting because it almost looks like heel versus heel.
Yeah.
You know, but where Trish will take that baby face as a hometown hero, Trish Stratus. We haven't seen her forever. Last match.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I think Charlotte wins. Charlotte has to win. She's going to be here. She's going to continue to be here for the future. You got to put her over. Trish winning means nothing. You do not do your, like, the old school way. You do the honors.
Yeah.
You like Batista, and actually, if you haven't seen Batista's podcast with Chris Jericho.
It's on my list.
Great podcast. Great, but very well done by Chris Jericho. But yeah, Batista goes into talking about how, like, you do the honors. Like, there was never a talk about, is Triple H going to win? Am I going to win? It was Triple H the entire way. And you do that. That's just what you do. So I think she will. I think Trish is old school enough now where she can see that.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, moving forward.
Moving forward, I think that this could go down as a Hall of Fame defining moment, and not for the person who is currently in the Hall of Fame. Dolph Ziggler versus Goldberg.
He was bamboozled this week.
In a story that makes no sense.
He was hosed. He didn't know what he was signing.
In a story that makes no sense.
Such a cheater. Cheater, Miz.
No, it's Cheater Sean.
Cheater. But it doesn't know. Like, he thought he was signing a contract against the Miz. And
the whole thing doesn't make any sense.
And then we all thought Shawn Michaels is going to be the person to take him on. And then there was a long wait between times where the crowd was like, boring.
Yeah.
Like, do something here, because clearly he hit his head, Goldberg in the back, probably fell down, probably needed a hot minute. And then he came back. And then, so.
I mean, I think that, like, if Dolph, I was telling you this today, if Dolph can make this seem like a plausible, great match, put him in the Hall of Fame in April, right? Yes. Even if he's still on the active roster, put him in the Hall of Fame.
100%. This needs to be the beginning of Dolph Ziggler's moving forward moment. Yeah. If he, yes, and you said it earlier before we started recording, if he can make Goldberg look good, Hall of Fame.
He'll have done something that nobody else has ever done.
But
in the
history. I think Ziggler needs to, that needs to be his game plan. He needs to shut everyone up right now. He needs to go on this long legend killing career where he just takes out people. I think it's a big back and forth. Goldberg gets a big advantage, and all of a sudden a big old spear comes and he super kicks the crap out of his face and just lays Goldberg out. And it's so bad where you just hear it like snap, and then that's it. And then a big pin, and everyone will be like, whoa. Like,
yeah,
you know, and if anything too, for Goldberg, win or lose, doesn't do anything for him. He's Goldberg, he's in the Hall of Fame.
It shouldn't be, but yeah.
You know, but
it's not going to make it any better.
But anyways, don't overlook at the WWE Hall of Fame. WWE does a good job of looking at the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
but anyways, he did his time.
I just think, so the problem I have with this story is, so it appears like Sean found somebody to fight Sean's battle. Why is it Goldberg? That's the problem I have.
I think it's Goldberg because Ziggler's been digging at Goldberg each week.
But that's because that's the lead up to this. But what does it do with Sean? To me, what it should have been...
Don't look at it as Sean. Look at it as a legend.
I just feel like it should have been one of Sean's proteges. Comes in, somebody from NXT who comes in and bids like, you know what? No. Like, you don't mess with Sean. And that could be the lead up. He could have flattened every NXT guy coming up. It's like the John Cena U.S. Open Challenge without a belt.
You gotta be careful NXT, though.
Yeah, but you got enough guys. You got enough guys there.
You gotta be careful NXT,
though. It could be Cesar Bonino. It could be...
No. See, but then you ruin anything they could possibly do in the future. I know what you're saying, though. But if anything, I think it's don't look at it as Sean. Look at it as it's the legend.
He's
trying to attack legends.
I would have rather the Iron Sheik in this match. Sergeant
Enjoy
Slaughter.
Enjoy it for what it is.
There is nothing that's going to be enjoyable. Dolph is going to win this match. If not,
positive attitude as a wrestling fan. Positive attitude.
No, if Dolph doesn't win this match, Dolph never shows up in WWE again. He can't.
Of course he will.
But he can't.
He'll take some time off and he'll show up later.
But it's embarrassing.
And we'll see him in the Rumble.
It'll be embarrassing.
I get what you mean. Jokes aside, this has, and like we both agree on, this has everything to turn into the biggest bombshell and biggest flop ever, or this has everything to turn into a great decision and a great match.
Yeah, know? But it's not good.
Positivity.
No.
Have hope.
I am not part of the New Day. So I do not negative. Have the power of positivity.
No one's saying that.
All right. Up next, the leader of the OC, which I think is the reason why they're calling it the OC instead of the club, is to therefore they can own the OC on its own and not have to kind of get it mixed up with the Bullet Club. That's what I'm kind of thinking they're going with.
Yeah.
It's just they can grant their own thing and they can move forward with
it. They're just trying stuff now.
AJ, United States Championship match versus Ricochet.
Love it.
I think it's going to be a solid match. I don't think it's going to steal the show. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near the worst thing we can see out there.
Right.
I think it's going to be a solid match. Obviously, I think the remaining Anderson Gallows crew will be somehow involved in something, sort of tomfoolery, in order to continue AJ Styles being
a heel.
Yeah, that's the way you have to do it, right?
I think this is great. And once again, and I hate to say it as, you know, to be repetitive, but they're continuing a great story, a great feud. We're seeing these guys again. And the best thing about it is I know we're not going to see the same match over and over again. They're going to put on something different and new. That's what these guys have done each and every time. Plus Ricochet still, like, there's still some heat there. He's got to get his back. You know, AJ Styles took it and he needs it back.
Yeah.
Even after some back and forth where you can kind of go, okay, AJ finally like took that feud. Ricochet in that gauntlet, great gauntlet, you know,
yep.
Ray coming in, Cesaro, Ray coming in, Sami Zayn, Ray coming in, losing to Andrade, which led to a little Andrade and Ray this week.
Yep.
Then learning into Ricochet coming to save Ray, with you know, the babyface save, and then jumping into Ricochet beating Andrade, you know, a really good win. Like kind of deserved, even though he kind of came in near the end and won the whole thing.
That's okay.
That's okay, because at the end of the day, that's what a gauntlet is.
Well, yeah, somebody has to see the last person,
right? You don't have to
Kofi,
you don't have to run the gauntlet. You know, it doesn't need to be that all the time. But no, I thought, you know, hey, fair and square, a good gauntlet, won the right, and there's history. It's going to be a great match.
So who do you think wins?
So I think Ricochet can... The good thing about Ricochet, so he's had that moment in the sun, being a champion. I think he can keep the momentum he's on, but continue to showcase himself with different individuals. I don't think he necessarily needs to have this on-again-off-again championship piece, so I think AJ wins, because I think the OC being able to walk around saying we're all champions is a really good heel heat.
There's more to them.
There's more to them, exactly.
And
so,
even though everyone knows AJ's one of the best in the world, he doesn't necessarily need the belt. I think it helps push the heel angle. My only question is, when does AJ start going for the Universal title? He's been on Raw now for a chunk of time.
When Brock Lesnar finally moves aside.
Do you think that they're trying to keep them away from each other again?
Mainly because with Brock, now it's funny and it's ironic, when I talk about constantly that storyline that build that longevity, they do that very well with Brock.
They do.
You know, Brock, you know, with Roman, it's long periods of time. You know, with Seth, it's been since, you know, Royal Rumble. You know, it's been some time now. So I think AJ can have his moment. I think with Brock Lesnar, it's hard because he's not there. Now, Brock has been there a lot more lately, which has been great. I think it's just once when they can have the Universal title regularly, that's where you can start seeing, you know. I would love to see a four-month storyline promo build back and forth between AJ and Rollins, where they just pass that belt around a couple of times, but then they have an end goal where it ends at a big pay-per-view, and then it whoever's decide to win. That's what I love about it, you know, and that's what I think, you know, good builds are, is at the end of the day, whoever wins and whoever loses, you look back and go, we told one hell of a story, you know, we put on a hell of a show, now it's time that we, you know, without exact words, you move on to something else. You know, so, which, you know, every time I see and I've seen AJ and Rollins, I can watch them every single night and put on a new show. You know, they will always find something new and something different. But yeah, I think AJ's having fun showing a little bit of relevancy to the U.S. title again, helping bringing up stars like Ricochet, because no amount of losses will hurt AJ Styles.
That's
AJ
right.
has solidified himself as a Hall of Famer, as one of the best of all times. Easily top 10 of all time. Like, just how long he's been doing it at the level he's been doing it. You know, top TNA. He had his run in a small, very unremembered run in WCW way back in the day. You know, like New Japan Pro Wrestling, you know, IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, you know, WWE Champion. You know, I think he can do no wrong, but I think it's this faction piece is fun. So
I also think the faction piece allows Finn Balor to join. Calling them the OC, it allows him to join.
Yeah.
Because it's not the Balor Club. It allows him to join without it taking away from AJ Styles.
100%.
So there's that flexibility if they want to go down that road.
Yeah, and who knows? And there's no, and actually kind of brings us to our next match.
Prince Devlin?
Prince Devitt.
Fergal.
Fergal. Finn Balor versus The Fiend, the returning Bray Wyatt's first match back.
It's the match I'm actually looking forward to the most out of any match in the card.
Same.
Because I'm really interested to see what they're going to do with Bray Wyatt.
Same.
Does he keep that mask on the entire time he fights? Is this turning into a squash match where Finn Balor
doesn't keep the mask on the entire
But
time
how do
fights?
You how do you play off the Fiend? So I take it to an example of James McAvoy in Split.
Right.
He had a very distinct physical difference as he went through his different characters.
Right.
Including when he was the Beast.
Right, where he was ripped.
Right.
His top
so
off, right.
They've done it so far with him being on the Firefly Funhouse, which I still wish they had played it, split it a little bit more, where they kept the kitty stuff, the yowie wowies, and then only periodically bring in the Fiend.
Right.
They obviously are not going down that road. But I just don't know how do you...
That's a very good point.
How do you physically sell Bray Wyatt as the Fiend if he takes off the mask?
Yeah, I think, you know, number one, to comment on that, that's a very good point, and that's something that I've been thinking of the last 2-3 weeks, where, and I think we both said it weeks ago, when he, the Firefly Funhouse, and when he first came back, and he attacked Finn Balor, you know, right away, I was thinking, you know, the next Firefly Funhouse we see, it just needs to be him going like, oh, hello, kids, not what we saw, and don't get me wrong, they've been good.
Absolutely.
Because now he's using the Firefly Funhouse to deliver a message.
Yep.
You know, it's, and especially this week where we kind of saw, was it Husky the Pig? You know, kind of like all in his little workout gear from the Muscle Man Dance, but he's all chocolate and candy. It's showing that, like, Firefly Funhouse is just in disarray.
Yeah.
Where he kind of comes in and he's just his normal, you know, showman self, and then it's kind of like oh, my friend, you know, like the guy I'm facing at SummerSlam, and you know, it's like, better watch it, you know, it's let me in.
Yeah.
You know, it's, but I would say, I don't know, like the mask is good, the mask is scary, the mask is unique, it's not like something else.
Yeah.
So very good job on whoever created that concept of the mask. I'm assuming we're gonna see Finn Balor, the Demon.
You will not see the Demon at SummerSlam.
Will we not see the Demon?
You will not see the Demon at SummerSlam.
I think we're seeing the Demon at SummerSlam.
You think it's going to be anyways? But then what
he always
do?
He always does it on the big show.
Yeah, but he's got to go through all the other things first. So the only other option, though, is if he goes as the Demon, the Fiend still has to destroy him.
100%. But that's where I think, because we do know that Finn Balor is taking a couple months off after this. And now the only bad thing is the Demon has never lost. Which, when we talk about undefeated and we talk about stuff, like, even though, yes, like, the Demon, Finn Balor, same person, of course. But, you know, like, do you want to hold that on to something? Or is that your rocket? You know, Finn takes some time off. I really hope it's not. No one has really speculated. And, hey, if he wants to take time off for himself, we don't need to sit here and speculate why. That's for him. Good on him. He's been doing high level for a very long time. You know, my only hope is that there's not something wrong with him in WWE. Because I think Finn Balor hopefully has a really good long home in WWE.
Yeah, no,
time.
I think he just needs
a little
break.
Mental break. I love the idea of him returning in a couple months from now. Maybe the Monday after Survivor Series, or hell, maybe even give him a little bit till, you know, maybe closer to the Royal Rumble, or
maybe he comes back in the Royal Rumble.
Or in the Royal Rumble or something, and or helps, you know, helps and joins the OC, the club. And but no, I think, you know, I don't hope we see the Demon, because I want the Demon to remain undefeated. Because the only hope is, yeah, regardless, I think Bray Wyatt needs to wipe the floor with Finn. Not wipe the floor, because you got to be careful about that.
No, but he has
but
to be
enough where it's like, that was a victory.
I will tell you, though, I like that he's using the Mandible Claw. I like it.
And I love how he's just, you don't know where. Like, especially to Mick Foley. He did it just this past week to Kurt Angle. Like,
yeah,
you know, poor Cedric can't seem to finish a segment for the life of him. You know, he's going in this match and he's trying to come back against Drew, and then all of a sudden the Fiend comes and just interrupts everything. But I love that Mandible Claw. You know, it's original because not a lot of people do it. And Sue Young kind of does it in TNA,
yeah,
with her bloody glove, which is really gross. But no, I think it's great. If anything, you have an opportunity to make this character the original Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Like, because the in-ring work of the original Bray Wyatt, nothing was wrong with it, and he was great. A mix of the darkness of The Undertaker, I think, taking pain like Mankind. You know, just you could not beat him down. Every time you did anything to him, he would laugh, scream, squeal, and get back up. That was the most frustrating thing about Mankind. So, but no, I think you're going to see a hell of a match. Bray goes over. I think Howe is going to be very big because this is going to be the defining moment to skyrocket. If Finn Balor wins, this whole Bray Wyatt thing stops and it's dead and 100%. They've messed up their second chance.
Yep, 100%. And I think
Bray needs to not lose until for the foreseeable future. And if he loses, it's because someone costed him that match. He needs to be a wrecking machine.
Yeah.
Like when the initial Undertaker came out in, you know, the early 90s, he was a wrecking machine. And when he lost, it was because someone costed him the match.
Yeah.
You know, he needs to go on that massive war path on his own. Doesn't necessarily need to be a title, but anyone who's in front of him gets decimated.
Yep.
So, but anyways, enough about that. But yeah, I think, we're both on the same page where Bray Wyatt should win, is going to win, and needs to win. All right, this is a big one next. Singles match. Pretty big stipulation. I hoped it was bigger. We were going to get what we hoped to get this week.
I will actually tell you that I'm glad they didn't go down that road, because then the end is really obvious. It's really obvious. If Shane versus Kevin, are you telling me that Kevin's going to lose his job?
No.
Right.
No.
So I think this way...
But it's the nail in the coffin, and, you know, Shane McMahon is gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just... But I get it. Or maybe Kofi. Kevin Owens beats him badly enough where we just don't see him for a long time.
Yeah, I don't want to see Drew out there. I don't want to see Elias out there.
No.
But I want it to be a squash match, and I think it needs to be in order for us to really believe that we're not going to continue to see Shane McMahon, you know, in the major storylines over and over and over again.
Yeah, he needs to stop. It was great for a while. I'm a big Shane McMahon fan. I remember watching him in his first match. I remember seeing him, you know, in the 90s and earlier, you know, helping his dad just with production overall and being a referee and all that. And, you know, but I think it enough is enough now. This whole, if anything, when they kind of, you know, a while back said they were going to flip the switch.
Yeah,
and you know what I mean? Everyone stuck to their word, but Shane. Shane continued to be that authority that stuck his nose into things. Stephanie went away. Vince went away. If anything, Vince was encouraging people. Triple H has been encouraging people. Shane has been the one to kind of sit there going, I'm the best in the world. I'm a wrestler. Don't get me wrong. For who he is and how little of a wrestler he's ever been, no one can say Shane doesn't do pretty darn well for himself. But at the same time, Kevin Owens has put fire into his promos this last couple of weeks because he's telling the truth, dropping names. You are taking TV time away from, boom, boom, talking about all these individuals on 205 Live, all these great individuals on SmackDown. You know, you are taking room and valuable airtime because you're on numerous segments. Get out of here. Go away. Let your superstars, you know, be in the spotlight in your company. So I think how they do this match is going to be very important for this whole thing to be very memorable. Because I think it needs to be, and sure, Shane can have some offense, but I think 70 to 80% of it needs to be Kevin Owens decimating, fighting for literally his career. And to the point where Shane walks out in the damn stretcher and he is so badly that you just don't see him for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and that's perfect. Do it to the point where we don't need to see his, what did he think about his match on SmackDown? No. Stop talking about him. And then people will say, like, well, where's Shane? Is Shane gone now? Yes, he is, because he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, they just need to, yeah. Yeah. Really? So I'm just also getting fascinated with the placement of this match.
Again, though, so, we're not 100% sure it is.
True. That's right. Sorry, I shouldn't think that way. But yeah, so the next up, we have the WWE Championship on the line. I'm a big fan of the storyline.
I am too.
Kofi Kingston defending the WWE Championship against Randy Orton. The history is there. You know, not just on Kofi's way up until beating Daniel Bryan at Mania. 8-9 years ago, when Kofi was starting to get a little steam and Orton was the champion, he kept putting him down and not giving him opportunities, and they had great feuds. And like, I remember there was a moment where I think it was like, yeah, like 8-9 years ago, where Randy Orton was, you know, gifted a race car.
Yeah,
you know, and Kofi was kind of, you know, like they were feuding, and he had his big old bucket of orange paint and just dumped it all over the top.
Accidentally put his foot through the windshield.
Accidentally put his foot through the windshield, and, you know, it was great. So there's some, and they're touching on that. They're talking about that. And this is the easiest way to get into great, because number one, Randy Orton's the man. He's great. And Kofi has been doing a really good job maintaining.
Yeah, surprisingly well.
Surprisingly well. It doesn't need to be this Hulkamania moment, but it's enough where we're all still, it's months later, and we're all still going, Kofi Kingston's still the WWE champion. Yes, go Kofi. You know, no one's like, oh, bore. You know, yeah. Okay, we want him to be champion, now he's champion, and now he's all let us down. He's doing his thing with the New Day, with him.
Yeah.
100%.
No, I think, and this is a story that has not had a lot of physical confrontation. Right? They haven't had a lot of in the ring against each other, which is perfect. Because they've already done that.
Yes.
So they've already had that. So this is kind of like Randy's last hurrah or whatever it's going to be. You know, but I mean, like, they don't have to necessarily sit there and go toe-to-toe for 6 weeks leading up to the championship for the story to work. It's working. I while not familiar with Jamaican Kofi Kingston overly a lot, they've done a great job of bringing everybody up to speed, and the storyline makes sense. And it makes sense that, you know, Randy was one of the big names at the time, and we already know the story of Kofi taking so long to get his championship opportunity. It's an easy way to say, well, yeah, Randy said he's not willing. He didn't want it to happen. Done.
Yeah, way back, this is one person that stopped him from his opportunity.
Who's gonna argue
to
it?
Be.
Yep. Exactly. So exactly. This is a story that works for me. I think Kofi still retains. I don't think Randy needs a championship. And then when you start giving him a championship, then you're starting getting into the John Cena, Ric Flair conversations about numbers.
No, this is a boost for Kofi. That's what this is.
Yeah.
This is a notch on Kofi's belt to continue to show he's beating the right people on the way up to being considered a great champion. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right, what's next?
So next we have a match.
I think this is going to be the most forgettable, but not because...
I think it's going to be a good match when the match happens and when we're done with it. I feel like we're going to look back and go... damn, that was a pretty good match. But my problem is, and I guess it's really hard. So number one, we're talking about Becky defending her SmackDown Women's Championship against
Bayley.
Ember Moon.
Not Becky.
Becky, I didn't see Becky. It's Bayley. Sorry, Becky's right on top of Bayley. Bayley defending the SmackDown Championship against Ember Moon. The hard point of this is that both of these individuals have been smack-talking each other. Bayley is almost like a really unfunny friend.
Yeah.
Where, like, everything she says that's mean, she says it with a smile on her face. And she's happy. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, well, you know what? You're a butt. You know what I mean? Like, everything is just lame. Ember Moon, still kind of new to the scene. You know, she's making her way there. Great. Okay. But I don't know. I just think, and then especially, too, don't get me wrong, like... Bayley coming to Ember Moon's, you know, like, saving this past week to kind of make sure she was okay, contradicted everything they've been doing the last couple of weeks, and I don't know. I think it's going to be a good match. I'm going to give it the credit because Bayley is a great competitor. Ember Moon is a very athletic, great competitor. But, yeah, I think this is one where we're not going to be overly enthusiastic about, but I will give them the opportunity to prove me wrong.
I don't think it's going to be a terrible match. I just think there's not enough invested in it. And I don't think they're going to be able to put on a show-stopping match to make up for the story.
Yeah.
Also, it kind of highlights the problem currently with SmackDown's women's division. in that you have Asuka, and she's now focused on the tag team.
Yep.
And you have Charlotte, who is everywhere now, Raw, SmackDown, and Raw. Who's left, right? Like, you don't have a very strong SmackDown women's division. So this is kind of more of an unfortunate. If this shows up on the preview show, wouldn't it all be surprised?
No, and if anything, too, that's a very good point. The placement of this match is very important. Yes. Because when you look at the card, Drew Gulak, Oney Lorcan, okay. You know, no big story, no big build behind it. You know it's going to be a great match. Trish, Charlotte, superstars clashing. Goldberg, Ziggler, Styles, Ricochet, Balor, Fiend, Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon, Bayley, Ember Moon. You know, and then, you know, Kofi, Orton, Brock, Seth, Becky, Natalya. Like, it's just, this one has the, like, if anything, I hope Bayley and Ember look at the roster and go, like, follow that. That's their opportunity to go, we are one of 10 matches, and we could have the crappiest match on the show. You know, because everyone else is just, yeah.
Yes, so I mean, I agree. I think that there's opportunities there for either one of them. I just think that when you put them on the pre-show, you're right, it gives them a chance to shine versus bury them in the middle of the card.
Oh, yeah. Placement will be everything with this one.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. The SmackDown Women's Division needs something. A little more structure. A bigger name to come in and actually want to be there. But we'll see how it goes. Yeah. So up next,
we have not the co-main event like I was going to say, but based on Wikipedia, the co-main event, Becky Lynch, the champion, the Raw Women's Champion, Becky One Belt, defending it against Natalya. Natalya, your cheesy sister talking smack to you. I love Natalya. I think she's awesome. Future Hall of Famer. She does not play the heel very well because she's too good. Even when she's talking to you, it's like your really nice mother trying to be mean.
Yeah.
Well, you, Becky, I'm going to show you. You know, it's just... But at the same time, once again, the talk isn't the big thing about it. Natalya is trying her all to make it happen. You know, the brass in the back clearly said, we want you to be the forceful one here. And, you know, Becky's holding up her end. You know it's going to be a great match overall. A good challenge for Becky because, you know, Natalya, it's especially a submission match, which is right in Natalya's corner. Becky's as well. You know, she has lots of if anything, her main shtick is submission. So it actually works for both of them.
Well, they're part of the submission sorority.
Submission sorority. Can't say that anymore.
No.
That's a porno. But yeah, so...
What I'll say, though, is I've liked that Natalya, the last 2 weeks or last two shows, where she has forced a DQ or whatever.
Oh, God, yeah.
I like that. At least it's showing she's got some, you know, fight in her.
110%.
And I think, ultimately, there isn't another person right now in Raw that fits the next challenger yet.
Yeah, but see, and I think that's my only complaint about it, is that we should still be talking Lacey Evans right now.
Yeah,
we need, right. And I know I say this over and
they
over
again.
They
had their one last chance.
Beat it like a drum, but it's just, they gotta, like, they gotta keep at with this stuff,
well,
right? Like,
it's very similar to 205 Live. You're getting a new person, but you're not, you're investing only in the champion.
Mm.
And the challenger just allows the champion to do their thing.
But as a heel challenger, the most annoying thing to a babyface is when it's like, I'm Becky, I'm the babyface, you know, I'm the champion, and then Lacey Evans, you know, here I am. Oh, Becky wins. Oh, here I am again. I beat you again. Lacey finds the way to get in there again. It's like a little pest.
Yeah.
You know, but they find a way, whether it's a number one contender, a tournament, a gauntlet, a battle royal, they always find a way to get in there. And then maybe Lacey wins one. Maybe it's a non-title match. Maybe it's like, I want to show that I can beat you. It's like, fine, no title though. And then she wins. And it's like, oh, I beat him, but it was a non-title match. Or they beat him, but it was a DQ, but I still win. There's still a W beside, you know, those weight. Or maybe Lacey gets one, holds that title for a hot minute, and now Becky is like, well, hold on a second. You know what I mean? There's,
yeah.
The title doesn't always need to go back and forth, but I just find that it's too, like, Lacey's build was months coming down that ramp, more and more to turn around and wave and go back in, to finally she clocked Becky in the mouth. You know, after months of seeing, like literally months and shows, and then for it to go one match and then kind of tie into the tag match, and then now she's done. Now where's Lacey now?
Yeah.
Where's she? I don't know. I haven't seen her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I haven't seen her. So, and unless she's injured or hurt or something that we don't know about, but usually we're good about hearing about those things. I think that
there's not enough time on the air to show everybody. But then
you shouldn't have brought her up.
I agree. I totally agree. You
invested segments and time.
Yeah, no, interrupting, I totally agree.
Interrupting main event matches for her to walk down and wave. For now, you know, we should still be talking Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans should still, at this point, have found a way to annoy Becky enough that Becky still wants to punch her in the face and get hers. But yeah.
So who wins?
Let's be real. Becky wins.
It has to be.
I think Becky has created something that you need to grab and go.
Even then, I've loved the Becky story. It's not the same anymore.
No, it's not.
And she is, in my opinion, is nowhere near as hot as she was. The height of her hotness in this was the lead up to Survivor Series. Yeah, that was the defining moment.
Oh, 100%. A lot of things watered down circumstantially, but at the same time, which I am glad that they've stopped this whole Seth and Becky boyfriend-girlfriend thing.
100%.
Because I think that is what watered it down heavily. Yeah. But I think we'll get there. I think we'll get there. But I think Becky on her own, doing her thing. We know Seth is over there. You know what I mean? Like, we know he's got her back. She's got his back. But I don't know. I think Becky wins. I think it's a fight. Or I'm always down for a twist. Natalya wins. And it brings these people into, you know, moving forward.
Yes, so there is something to be said, you know, Becky for her,
Becky and Ryan.
For her efforts is that she is the first female to be on the cover of the WWE 2K series, sharing with Roman, which kind of makes me laugh that it doesn't really count in my opinion. There's no reason Roman needed to be on there either. There's, you know, we're getting new stories coming out. It's coming out in October. It looks like. You've already had a commercial, an interesting commercial. Obviously, Becky playing the lead.
Early.
Yeah, but it looks like the collector's edition is going to celebrate the 20th anniversary of SmackDown and includes one of three autographs from SmackDown Live Legends, Rated R Superstar Edge.
Yeah, Edge, Kurt Angle, and or Rey Mysterio.
Hulk Hogan's going to be back. We'll be able to talk through these as they come, but it was the Becky commercial came, you know, she busts through the roof.
Oh, yeah. Great, great commercial.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great trailer.
So, you know, it's just, it will be interesting to see how this comes, and we'll talk more about
what features are going to come.
But, you know, but it obviously still shows that they're behind Becky, and this is really Becky doing it, let's be honest. And whoever helped her write her stuff. This isn't Vince. This isn't the WWE... brass.
Oh, nothing gets by Vince.
Right, but it's not the WWE brass like pushing it, like they do with Roman, or they did with John. This was definitely the fans pushing hard for it, and it clicking.
Yep, so, 100%. Very true. Very
I think, you know, yeah, Becky maintaining the belt makes the most sense. I don't think Natalya makes sense for her to be the, you know, the other, the champion for now. I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, if Sasha came back, that would be, you know, ideal, but we'll see how that goes. Yeah. So what's our last match? Likely the main event.
We got something that I would have to, I guess, almost define as one of, I don't want to say what like the, but one of the edgiest things we've seen in a while, in regards of brutality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, we're talking about the main event, sorry, talking about, you know, Brock Lesnar, the current WWE Universal Champion, taking on Seth Rollins, the former champion. My only, and I know I've said this already, but just to kind of bring back, I really wish that, now, I wish they just kind of went with Seth is going to, you know, use his rematch clause in his contract, not this whole over 10 man over the, for Seth to win. That was just crazy, but you're telling a very interesting story here. I'm intrigued. I'm invested. But I don't know why. I feel like I know why. But of course, last week, Brock Lesnar came down and decimated Seth Rollins. We've seen him several F5 people before, but the amount of times he F5'd him on a standing open chair onto those ribs,
yeah,
coughing up blood, regardless whether it's real or not real, you know, it's part of the story, you know, coughing up blood, the marks you saw on his ribs, you know, just the brutality. And then in the back, I got goosebumps and I got shaky when he pulled him out of the ambulance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that could have been bad if he fell to the side or fell over onto his face or something, and then just continued to beat the crap out of him. And then, of course, this week, Seth Rollins' music hits during a Brock and Paul Heyman promo, and heart and soul, pure adrenaline, limping down to show that it doesn't matter, and then obviously getting his butt kicked again. Something where, yes, you can talk about, like, wow, that's stupid for him to do. The whole point of it is just, it was him trying to get every inch of his energy to get back at him. Even though, yes, you should probably get better for SummerSlam. And, you know, it's, but at the same time, it was what it was. Clearly what they're doing here is they're putting Seth at a massive disadvantage. I hope Seth wins or finds a way to win. Because I don't mind Brock as champion because you've seen him around a lot more. However, I think we can do... We've seen Brock as champion for a long time. So something new and something different. I'm a big Brock Lesnar fan. Always have been, always will be. But I don't know. What's your take on this whole... Where is this going to end?
I do like that they will... That we've seen more Brock. He's more actively involved. I appreciate that. I don't want to see him show up 3 times a year and be the champion. I didn't like the visual of Seth walking out using the chair as a crutch. I just didn't buy it. No. If he actually had a crutch, I would have bought it more. Whatever the case would be. But I've enjoyed the brutality because it is something different that we haven't seen from Brock in a while.
Yeah.
If Seth doesn't win, I don't know what you do with him. So
what I almost here's what I thought. I feel like 100% it's not going to happen, but here's what my thought is. Seth, it comes to SummerSlam and Seth is not cleared to wrestle.
And then he does like an unsanctioned match?
No. Someone else comes out.
Yeah.
So where's Bobby Lashley in all of this?
Yeah. Damn, people, you know, they just don't want to buy into Bobby Lashley.
Well,
so I think that there's an opportunity for Brock to go to Fox on SmackDown.
Oh God, yeah.
So I think that if Seth wins, Brock goes away, comes back on SmackDown.
Oh God, yeah.
When he moves,
which is coming up soon, October.
Right. So I think there's a possibility.
Yep.
If not, yeah. If Brock wins again, I really don't know what you do with Seth, and I don't know what you do with Brock.
I think Seth needs to be the face of Raw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think if anything, what I hope all of this is. They're just trying to, you know, really put a lot of disadvantage in Seth's court for him to overcome Lesnar again.
Yeah.
And then, yes, and then I think now is the time because then you can go rest of August, September, a little bit of October, almost 2 months can go away. But then all of a sudden, that debut Fox show on SmackDown,
yeah,
boom, Paul Heyman comes out. And, ladies and gentlemen, and then here we go. And then Brock has a whole new adventure over on SmackDown. But between now and then, they really need to, which is a whole other topic. But, and number one, too, it's on a YouTube video. I think it's called Between the Ropes.
Yes.
You know, Eric Bischoff talks about his take on the brand split. And this is way before he even was now looking over some sort of, having some kind of power or a little bit of power in saying SmackDown. And he speaks very passionately about the brand split and how it can work and how he would run Raw and SmackDown, where they can't just be two wrestling shows. One needs to be a little bit more edgy and the other one needs to be a little bit more wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, they need to kind of speak the same language, but do it in a different way.
Well, how SmackDown Live used to be.
Yep.
Bring back Talking Smack.
Yep.
Bring back the land of opportunity where you saw different matches that you didn't normally get to see.
Yeah.
And that's the way you kind of split it out.
Yeah. It just needs to be, you know, you just need to have, I think the time of the GM is done. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, the general manager, but there still needs to be something. You know, and it doesn't need to be something you refer to. You know, this match has been made. The powers that be, wherever they are, has made this match.
Yeah.
And yeah, but I think, yeah, my really hope is that before Fox, they find a way to really define the brand. You know, determine who you want on Raw and who you want on SmackDown. Let Vince, Bruce Pritchard, which I'm so happy he's Vince's right-hand man again. That's amazing. You know, get Vince, get Bruce, you know, get Hunter, get Heyman, get Bischoff. Put them all in a room. You know, leave the writers out of it and go, okay, what's the show going to look like? You know, and then you got to build, then let the boys build it around there and just go from there. But anyways, I know that's forward thinking. That's for another show. But no, I think, yeah, I overall, fairly happy with how the SummerSlam is turning out. What about you?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they've done a really good job lately of producing some good, finally some good wrestling on both shows.
100%.
And so...
edgier, different.
Yeah, so I'm certainly excited about it. So we have... again, it'll be on Sunday, August 11th, in the Toronto, Ontario, Canada region, Scotiabank Arena. Check it out on the network. And just before we close up shop, we'll be back just to wrap up some other wrestling news. And we will be back.
Stay tuned.
In 10 seconds.
Stay tuned.
Once again, we have returned from our long scheduled break. So we just wanted to wrap up the show. Thank you, everyone, again for listening to our SummerSlam TakeOver preview. We just wanted to tie up some other wrestling news. Might tickle your fancy, pique your interest. So this Friday, August 9th, at the Don Kolov Arena, which I believe is in association with... Santino Morella, I don't know his real name.
I believe school, so, yep.
Is Destiny Wrestling with your champion currently is one of my favorites, Josh Alexander. But this one is a really interesting event. So it's called Icons. And it actually features cross promotion. And I feel like you're going to see this more as Hunter gets more involved.
Yeah.
So a couple of the matchups we have SCU from AEW. Taking on OVE from Impact.
From Impact Wrestling.
We also have Mustache Mountain from NXT and NXT UK. Taking on Alexander and... is it Michael Elgin?
Mike Elgin, yeah.
Who are two Impact wrestlers. So it's not very often that you get to see this opportunity.
Yep.
And
for those of you who don't know who Mike Elgin is, New Japan Pro Wrestling, number right. one. As well as just challenged... what's his name? The Impact World Champion, the big guy.
Oh, Brian Cage.
Brian Cage. He just challenged him at the most recent Slammiversary for the championship.
So we're also going to get Tennille Dashwood, who is part of Impact now.
Awesome.
Former Emma.
Yep.
Awesome. What do they call her? AFK Emma.
Yeah.
FKA, formerly known as.
Yeah.
And Joey Ryan, who's kind of like that hot, that. And it's funny because he is the independent wrestler that the big promotions want, but I don't think any of them will ever let him do what he normally does. I think it's one of those cases where they don't want anybody else to have him in case somebody actually lets him do all of his antics.
Yeah. Well, plus he does run bar wrestling.
Yes.
And yeah, he talked about it recently on a podcast. I think it was with Jericho. And he asked him, like, you know, obviously in being the Elite, we saw you with so many different segments with the, you know, the Young Bucks and Kenny and Cody and everyone. And he did say AEW did offer me a contract and he did decline as he feels that AEW, even AEW would not know what to do with a Joey Ryan.
Yeah.
He's having massive success doing what he's doing on his own. Don't fix it if it ain't broke. If it's exactly working, it's working. Just he needs to stop tweeting things like, you know, don't. You know, tell her you're putting it in her butt. Don't ask her. Women like confidence.
Oh,
we can do without those types.
That's
of,
no good.
Yeah,
that's blurring the line between gimmick and reality. Yeah, and
me
really
too.
Careful.
The shit out of that, Joey Ryan.
Yes. So that being said, it's coming on Friday. As far as my understanding, you can actually watch this on one of the programs. It might be on Independent Wrestling TV. It could be on Fight TV.
Does it say where it's going to be on?
Not on the poster. But there'll definitely be opportunities to be able to check this out. And I think it'll be a really interesting show to...
DestinyWorldWrestling.com.
Yes.
I bet you can find the information.
I bet you can't because I was on the website. It's a little outdated.
Oh.
So,
don't go over
Facebook.
To DestinyWorldWrestling.com.
Facebook looks like it's the up-to-date moment, but I'm sure you'll end up finding it on one of the streaming sites. Even if you can't watch it tomorrow, you can watch it another night.
Oh, yeah.
And lastly, we wanted to give the update on the Fighting Back 9. This show is sold out again.
Whew.
They're still doing, I think there's still room for the meet and greet with Cody where the money goes to, all the money goes towards the cause, which is great. So break it down again. The main event number one is the special challenge, Cody and MJF versus Tabanak the team. We also have the six-man tag team match with Diamond Tiger, Kobe Durst, and Matt Angel teaming up with Joey Janela to take on Evil Uno and the Butcher and the Blade. We do have our over-the-top Fighting Back Invitational. So far, the names are, that have been listed is Stu Grayson, Sexy Eddie, Gabriel Fuerza, Jonathan Rukin, Danhausen, Tony Deppen, who I'm not familiar with, Daniel Garcia, who apparently is in talks to join up with Evolve.
Ooh.
To get an opportunity to evolve.
That'd be awesome.
Von Vertigo, Sheldon Jean, Jody Threat, Kevin Blackwood, and PCP Crazin' Effin' Manny, who I've seen, and he is definitely crazy. We also have the Loot 07 champion, which I believe is the promotion run by Stu Grayson and Evil Uno.
That is.
So yep. This will be Benjamin Tull versus Sally. Not familiar with Sally. And a Class of 2003 tribute match. So, the person that this match all kind of surrounds, which is Frank Morin, that's kind of who started this, or who's the inspiration for this.
Okay.
He wrestled with Shane Simmons and Freak Zach Manson in the wrestling school they were in. So these guys are going to come back and put on a match.
Oh.
So I think it'll be interesting. I've never seen these guys in action. So
no, neither have I, but that's interesting to see.
So, again, the show takes place August 16th. It will be on independentwrestling.tv for those who didn't get their tickets. And it'll definitely be worth it. So,
not tomorrow, but a week after tomorrow, next Friday.
That's right. So, that being said, on next week's episode, we will recap TakeOver and SummerSlam. We will discuss a little further, preview the matches for Fighting Back 9. And kind of talk about anything else that we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, and maybe if things change and the time opens up, I'll be able to finally attend another C4 event. It never seems to work out. It's crazy. It never seems to work out. There's always something. But
I tell my family, this is priority number one. Screw you guys. You're coming with me because I'm going.
Okay.
I had that. Listen, I had a luxury. Not everyone does.
Nah, fair enough.
That's
awesome. That's a great breakdown. Very exciting, especially as well, like the, not just the fact that C4 is putting on another amazing event, who they're collaborating with, the talent that's coming here to Ottawa is great. But also the cause, the cause is absolutely amazing. The donations, once again at St. Anthony's Hall, banquet in, at 523 St. Anthony's, Street, Ottawa, Ontario. There you go.
Go to c4wrestling.com for more information. You can also subscribe to, or you can sign up to independentwrestling.tv. I believe C4 is running their usual 20 days free with their promotion code, but check out their website for more details.
Absolutely.
All right, and that
any,
being said,
else?
I think that's it.
I think
we've talked enough.
Yeah, I think we're more and more lately we're trying not to make these as long. I think one thing we have learned along the way is, for those of you who do listen, number one, we love you guys. We thank you guys for all the support. Obviously being a new podcast, maybe where we went wrong is making two and a half hour podcasts right away. Maybe leave those to the big pros for now. But at the end of the day, like we always say, we want to make content that you guys want to listen to. Kyle and I, even before recording today, we talked about different ideas. Won't necessarily go into it now, but we really hope that you guys enjoy some things. That we do have up and coming in the near future. So stay tuned for that. But no, I had fun tonight. Kyle, it was a pleasure. Thank you
Absolutely.
For having me in your home.
You're very welcome.
I got to go home and eat some Harvey's now. And
ooh, enjoy.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
All right, we will close that up and stay tuned for next week.
All right, take care, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Six, one, three, wrestling.